So, welcome back to both of you. Today we are going to talk about the Haggadah a little bit. So, one question you got to ask is, why? You know, if every single day, every single night, we have a mitzvah to remember Sipur, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, I shouldn't say Sipur, Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why is Seder night any different? In other words, we have to say it, and we say in Kriya Shema twice a day. You remember being taken out of Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. We're very grateful. Right? It's one of the things we have to remember day in and day out. But what's the difference? Why? What's different about Seder night? What's different about Seder night? We're doing something that we're basically doing every single day of the year. So there's a famous Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker. So he actually says, you're right. There is a mitzvah every single day to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the mitzvah Seder night is to be engrossed in the mitzvah. To talk about it, to speak it out for long lengths of time, right? We see in the Haggadah, we'll talk about it a little later, right? They had that whole story with the Rabbanim and Bnei Brak, and you know, the Talmidim had to come in and say, oh, wake up, you know, it's time to say Kriya Shema. So that's the mitzvah Seder night, to be engrossed, to ask questions, right? The whole thing was the kids asking questions or the parents asking questions, whoever, and people giving answers and speaking things out. So that's the mitzvah of the Seder. To give you some other thoughts on the Haggadah, so I heard two unbelievable tie-ins to, first of all, you have to ask the question, just looking at the psukim. So why do we end up in Mitzrayim? So we know back in, you know, by Avram Avinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, listen, you know, your children are going to go down to Mitzrayim, but don't worry, I'm going to take them out, I'm going to give them a lot of stuff. But in the end of the day, ignoring that for a second. So if you look, read the Psukim in Bereishis, you read the Parshios in Sefer Bereishis, what led us to having to go down to Mitzrayim? What event happened? Oh, Yosef. Mechiras Yosef. Because basically, Yosef being sold was like the chain reaction to all these different things going on. So, you know, the famine, and they went down to Mitzrayim, and they met Yosef, and Yosef said, oh, stay a while. So Yaakov came down, they all stayed in Mitzrayim, and eventually, Paro enslaved us. So it all stemmed from Mechiras Yosef. So the Svarim point out that that's actually, this being in Mitzrayim, being slaves, was actually a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. A lot of the Svarim point out. Now, even though you can ask a kasha, you know, he promised Avram Avinu already, but okay, so that's a good kasha. But in the end, a lot of the Svarim point out that it was basically, we had to atone for that horrible thing we did of Mechiras Yosef. So that's why we're in Mitzrayim for so long. So, they say that Seder night, we're actually atoning. By us sitting at the table, we are atoning for that sin of Mechiras Yosef. How? So Rabbi Yohanan and Eibeshitz says that what was the one thing? I mean, there are, I guess, a couple things, but what was like the one thing that led to the brothers eventually selling Yosef, like going so far to say, you know what, we're selling our brother. What nakuda? What mida was going on? There are a couple midas. We'll talk about both of them probably. Sinas chinam. Okay.
Disunity.
Okay. But what caused the disunity? Right. So Rabbi Yonah Simonish says the real thing that was the problem, we don't normally think about this, it happens, it's good muster in life in general, is the brothers, okay, so Yosef wasn't doing all the right things, and the brothers, what does it say in the Pasuk? He hated him. They hated Yosef. Pasuk also tells us that not only they hate him, they didn't speak things out with him. They never gave off that they hated him so much. Right? It says Lo yochel adabra l'shalom, right? They couldn't speak peacefully. They let the hatred like just fester and harbor in their hearts. So Rabbi Yohanan and Eibeshitz says that's the reason why eventually they went crazy, because like it was an explosion of like hate at the end, like, oh, let's kill him and then let's sell him. So Rabbi Yohanan and Eibeshitz says, so as a kapara for that horrible thing, that they didn't speak things out, they ended up selling Yosef. What do we dafka do Seder night? We dafka what? Speak things out. Yohanan Abishad says that. We speak things out. In other words, again, that's like a kapara for the fact that we didn't speak things out Seder night. So that's one aspect of it, how Seder night connects to Mechiras Yosef. Another thing I saw in the Haggadah of the Kli Yakar, he talks about the minig of people wearing a kittel Seder night, right? We wear a kittel Yom Kippur and Seder night. I actually saw, you know, just a side point, I heard something interesting once, that some people have the minug, as disgusting as it might sound, some people have the minug that after the Seder, you know, wearing a white kittel and you're handling four cups of wine and charoses and this and that, so your kittel tends to get a little stained or dirty. So some people have the minug that they do, dafka do not wash the kittel, and they actually wear that kittel on Yom Kippur with the stains on it. So what's the reason for that? You're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, right? You want atonement. You want Him to forgive you. Say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what I did over there. Look, I was involved in the mitzvah charoses. Oh, here's a little bit from the Dalet Kosos. Actually, it's actually in Indian. I don't know anybody who does it. But whatever. So anyway, the Haggadah, the Kli Yakar, says that, so what's the reason behind the kittel, wearing the kittel? There are many reasons given. But he says that, again, going back to Mechiras Yosef, right? Brought down the Sforum is that Seder night, we're atoning for that chet of Mechiras Yosef, right? So he says that, that again, one of the main issues Yosef and her brothers had was the ksonas pasim, right? That beautiful coat that Yaakov gave Yosef, a beautiful, beautifully colored coat. And that led to jealousy. Like, oh, why does he get that beautiful coat? Why don't we get that beautiful coat? And that also led to eventually them just exploding and wanting to kill him and then sell him. So the Kli Yakar says that that's the pshat behind the kittel. In other words, the whole night is an atonement for that. So what do we dafka do? Everybody wears the same thing. We wear a plain white garment. Again, because we want to commemorate the fact that this is atoning for that, you know, we don't want it to seem like one's above the other, because we know that was the story by Yosef and his brother. So that's dafka why we wear a kittel Seder night, according to the Kli Yakar. All right. I'll give you a couple quick hitters on the Haggadah here. So we start off with Halach Ma'anya. So you should know before we start doing this, you know, it's beautiful, the Divrei Torah and all that, and that's what, you know, a lot of parents and people want to hear at the Seder, but you should remember, you know, you should try and go through the Haggadah, because again, the real mitzvah is to really tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So all, you know, all the gematrias and all this and that is nice, but, you know, really we shouldn't forget the meat and potatoes, which is basically talking about the Sipur, you know, talking about the Mako, and get up to the Makos, you know, talk about them. You know, the, you know, if you're in my Chumash class in 10th grade, I don't know if you remember, the Kli Yakar goes through Midah Keneged Midahs, you know, through all the Makos. So, you know, it's nice to talk about, you know, especially if there are kids at the table, so the kids normally are mostly into the Makos. Usually mostly into the Makah of the Frogs for some reason. That's like the most popular Makah in kids. It's like a cute Makah, whatever. So Halach, so the Haggadah starts off, Magid starts at Halach Ma'anya. Right, this is the poor man's bread, the achlu of asana be'arv the Mitzrayim, right, that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Kol dichven yesev yechol, anybody who wants, come and eat. Kol ditzruch yesev yitzruch, anybody who needs, could come and have some of the korban Pesach. Hashata hacha, now we're here. Hashana babi'arv the Yisrael, next year we'll be in the land of Israel. Hashata avde, now we are slaves. L'shon haba b'nechor, next year we'll be free men. So there's a sefer, Haggadah. It's called the Maaseh Hashem. It's written by Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi Zetzal. So he asks the following two very important questions. First of all, this first paragraph is in Aramaic. The rest of the Haggadah Maggid is not in Aramaic. That's question number one. Why is it in Aramaic? Question number two is, it has a line here. It has a line in Halach Ma'anya called Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach. Anybody who needs, come and have some Korban Pesach. Now, this is like a, unless you know like Hilchas Korban Pesach, well, I don't know if you know to ask this question. Well, what's problematic with that? Why?
Because it has to be just your family.
Exactly. The Pesukim tell us that You have to appoint. Before you shech the Korban Pesach and say, this Korban Pesach is for me, and if it's not just for your family, if it's too much meat, you invite your neighbor. It's for us and our neighbors. Right? You have to appoint a certain chabura, a certain group, that this is our Korban Pesach before you shech the animal. So you can't do that. Once you roasted the Korban Pesach and it's on your Seder table, you can't say, oh, anybody who wants, come and have some Korban Pesach. That's actually against halacha. It's against halacha. So what's the pshat? So we have to remember that we know Aramaic is the Lashon, you know, it reminds us of Golus, right? That reminds us of Bavel, of Golus, of being kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. So, without reading inside, I'm not going to read inside. Sefer Maaseh Hashem basically says that, you're right, you're right. You can't do that. It's keneged halacha. But that's the whole point. We're lamenting, we're mourning, that we don't have that halacha anymore. We don't have that halacha anymore of Korban Pesach. We don't have a base of Mikdash. So yeah, everybody sit at the table and eat. Because unfortunately, we don't have the halacha of Dafka having to appoint people before we have the Korban Pesach. And that's why it's in Aramaic also. Again, it's that mournful, you know, lamenting of the fact that we're still in Golus. And the other Sfarim that point out, why are we so focused on in that paragraph of, yeah, come and eat. Anybody wants come and eat. Like, we keep saying that. Anybody wants come and eat, and everyone Korban Pesach, come and have. So what is that? That's staka. It's staka that we want to give to others. So a lot of Sfarim point out that what brings the geula? Staka. And there's actually, there's a Gemara to back it up. I don't know if I can find it now. There's a Gemara. I think there's a certain sefer that points this out. That's all tied into this paragraph, that we're remembering the Golus, but we're also remembering how to finally, eventually get the geula through tzedakah, through chesed, through loving each other, etc. So that's a little something on halach ma'anya. Then you have in the next paragraph, you got, and again, we're not really at this point not telling the sipur, right? It's not the story. It's just like we're kind of preparing here. So, right, we ask the Manishtana 4 questions, and then we answer, we give a general answer, we say, Avodim hayinu l'paro Mitzrayim, we tell the kids because we were slaves in Egypt, this is why we're doing everything different tonight. V'yitzinu Hashem elokinu mishem b'yach hazak v'zun atu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of, ilu lo tzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu esav asinu Mitzrayim, and if God didn't take us out of Mitzrayim, hari anu uvarneinu uvnei vaneinu mishubadim hayinu l'paro Mitzrayim, we'd still be enslaved by Paro if God didn't take us out. Right, even for all wise, kulanu nevonim, we all understand, kulanu zkenim, we're all elders, kulanu yodim es haTorah, we all know Torah, mitzvah lina saber mitzias esrayim, mechol hamar b'lesaber mitzias esrayim, harei zeh meshubach. The more you talk about the sipur, the more praiseworthy it is, right? Two quick things on this paragraph here. First of all, again, it's this haggad of the Maasei Hashem. So he asks the following question, which I think makes a lot of sense. In the beginning of this paragraph, what do we say? We're saying that if God didn't take us out of Mitzrayim, we'd still be there. So, if you think like a normal human being, I mean, I don't think it's so crazy to say that. Give me a break. We'd really still be there? You know, in America, they abolished slavery when, anybody know the year? 18 something? Not 18, I don't know. Okay, no history buffs here. I don't know. But they abolished slavery, you know. Very little slavery nowadays. I mean, maybe in Africa, I guess they have slavery still in some places. But like, really? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out, we'd still be there? So that's why the Sefer Maaseh Hashem says, notice the Lashon of the Baalei Haggadah. It says, Mishubadim. Mishubad, I was translating as you'll be enslaved by Paro, but Mishubad doesn't really mean, you could use Mishubad in a different way. Mishubad really means like you owe something to somebody. Like if, I don't know, if somebody gives you a lot of money, so you might use the language of, oh yeah, I feel like, you know, he's given me so much money, I feel Mishubad to him. And I feel tied to him. I feel like I owe him something. So that's pshat. It's not pshat that we'd still be, maybe we wouldn't still be okay, maybe. But the point is that we're thankful that what? Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out. We don't owe our thanks to, like, you know, Paro and the king of Egypt. That would be horrible. For the rest of history, we'd owe our debt of gratitude to Paro. So we're thanking God that he's the one that took us out. Another idea at the end of this paragraph, it says the more you talk about the Sipur, the more praiseworthy it is. And what's the next paragraph in the Haggadah? The famous story. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, they were all sitting at a Seder in Bnei Brak, and they were discussing all night until the Talmidim came in and said, oh, no, it's time to say Kriya Shema. They were so engrossed, right, going back to that the Chaim Brisker, they were so engrossed in the Sipur that they didn't chap, it was daybreak, and they had to say Kriya Shema. So a couple questions. First question is, actually, really one question. Main question is, it's based on a Gemara in Sukkah. And last year, you guys learned Sukkah, so you might remember this Gemara, not you. You guys learned Sukkah.
I probably don't remember.
You probably don't remember? Okay, we'll see. It says, if it was by, you probably remember the Sugya. The Sugya was going to visit your Rebbe on the Yontif?
Oh.
Vaguely? Okay. So Rabbi Eliezer says in the Gemara in Sukkah, forgot the daf. What? Right. But he says within that sugya, he makes a comment that I praise the people who, exactly, the lazy people who stay home on Yontif. Exactly. Moshe remembers. I praise the lazy people that stay home on Yontif. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda felt that on Yontif you should be home. It's a nice thing, whatever it's based on, makes sense. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, another Gemara tells us, is that he lived in Lud. Where's this Seder? What does it say in the paragraph? Bnei Brak. Hello? Rabbi Eliezer is going against his thing. You should stay home on Yontif. What's he doing in Bnei Brak? Yontif, it's the Seder. Bam Kasha, no? It's this Haggadah Chachma Yerushalayim, quoting from Rabbi Yosef Ben Yamin Shmonovitz. So he asked this kasha, which is a very, very strong kasha. Makes a lot of sense. So the other answers given that maybe he was on a trip and he couldn't get home. Things like technical answers. But this is like the more drushy, like nice type of answer here. So he says that the previous paragraph, we're misinterpreting what it says. What does it say? V'chol hamarbe l'sapri b'tzion sarim ha'reza meshubach. So you think the marbe is going on what? The amount you're telling the story, the amount of storytelling. You know what hamarbe is going on? Marbe is not going on the amount you talk about the story. The marbe is going on the people that you're discussing the story with. The more and more people together discussing the story of Sipur Yitzchayim, HaRezeh Meshubach. The more family you got there. Right, there's a concept in Judaism, just to back this up, Berov Am Hadras Melech. I don't know if everybody heard of this. You heard of this? Right, there's more glory for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more and more Yidden are involved in a mitzvah. Right, that's why, technically, my Rebbe Simon points out that technically it's, you know, when it comes to certain mitzvahs, like making Kiddush, like there's a minute, especially Seder night even, it's especially important nowadays. We're about to make Kiddush Seder night, Mirz Hashem. So Seder night, so people have a minute of everybody making Kiddush at the table. But technically, that might not be the best thing halachically to do. I'm not saying, you know, if your parents want that, you know, you should make a stink about it. You know, you could say your own Kiddush, I guess. But the best thing to do is one person make Kiddush. Because the more and more people involved with that one mitzvah, the nicer, the more glory it is for a Kiddush Baruch Hu. So he says, that's why we bring this story right after, to illustrate this. That, oh, you see, this inyan of having so many people at the Seder to have as many people as possible engrossed in this mitzvah is so important that Rabbi Eliezer went against what he normally held of staying home on Yontif. He went to Bnei Brak. He said, oh, I got to be with these other Rebbeim. This is the way to do it. This is the proper way to do it. It's a nice thing, you know, nice thing to say when your family members are around. They'll appreciate that, you know, the family getting together and discussing this stuff. All right, just a couple more. How could we go discussing the Haggadah without discussing the four sons? It's everybody's favorite. I asked my shir at Kasha. I mean, I guess it's easy to, you know, answer. There's a bunch of answers my shir gave me. But, you know, it's the strangest thing. And first of all, it's such a focus of the Seder, the four sons. And meanwhile, you're still not there. You're still not really telling the story yet. You're just discussing, okay, by the way, you know, I know there's a mitzvah to tell the kids a story. And, you know, there's four types of kids, four types of personalities, four types of sons that one could possibly have. And this is how you deal with each one of them, basically. It's what the Haggadah is telling us. But I asked my guys, and I asked this kasha last year to my guys, you know, it's very strange. Why would you... I'm just throwing this out there. I don't really have any good answers. You can come up with a good answer on your own. Normally, when it comes to mitzvahs, so you don't put the instruction manual in the mitzvah. I'm saying, like, the Bali Haggadah, you know, they're putting, like, the instructions right next to the actual mitzvah. And not only that, I mean, the kids are sitting there. And the kids are like, I don't know, they maybe they get self-conscious. Like, oh, you know, which one am I? Am I the Chacham? Am I the Rasha? Am I Shein of the Nishal? Am I Tam? Like, I find the whole thing very strange. That's just a kasha I'm going to throw out there. You could think on your own. Some of my shir said that, you know, it's adarabba, that when the sons hear this, they'll try and be mechazik themselves. Like, oh, I don't want to be the Rasha. I want to be the Chacham, or I want to be whatever, this and that. I don't want to be the Rasha. They made a focus, like my shir said, the focus is really that you shouldn't be the Rasha, because again, the Rasha, you know, you have a little violent way of dealing with him, you know, as it says in the Haggadah. But just to tell you over this Chassam Sofer, so the Chassam Sofer asks the following question. So let me read you the Chacham and the Rasha. And a lot of people far point out that, you know, we always think the Chacham and the Rasha are the opposites. But being smart and evil is not really opposite, right? People point out that the Rasha and the Tam are really the opposites. So the Chacham, or what does the Chacham say? Maha Eidus Ve'achukim HaMishpatim. What are all these mitzvahs, these gavaldic mitzvahs, asher tziva Hashem l'kein aschem, which God commanded you guys? And then the Rasha says, ma omer, so what does the Rasha say? Ma avodah zos lachem, what is this avodah to you? Lachem v'lo lo, right? The Haggadah says, he said lachem to you, but not for him. He didn't mean he's part of it. So, Chassam Sofer, he asked the following question. It says, Chacham ha omer, etc., the difference between the question of the Rasha and the Chacham, listen, in the end, you know, you don't have to dissect the Lashon. Without dissecting the Lashon too much, the Chacham and the Rasha are really asking the same thing. You know, let's face it. Chacham says, what are you doing? Maybe in a more elaborate way. Rasha says, what are you doing? They're both asking, what are you doing? So the Chassam Sofer says that the difference is like this. When you do mitzvahs, and there's good mussar in life in general, when you do mitzvahs, yes, you should try your hardest to understand what you're doing. You should try your hardest to understand the root of all mitzvahs. You should. You should learn about them, educate yourselves, so you have more kavanah doing them. Aval lo shiyah zeh ma'akev. It should never be ma'akev. It should never be like, oh, if I don't like the reason, I'm not on board. It should never be like that, chas v'shalom. B'shum shiur b'maisa mitzvah. It shouldn't add to, like, your hesitation. It shouldn't, like, cause you to hesitate doing the mitzvah, chas v'shalom. Ki nasa kasher tzivan Hashem l'kinu. Because in the end, you know, it's in Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do it. I'm going to do it. V'lom day shekulano v'abnasenu b'shirius libeinu. In other words, we're not going to just base it on our understanding and you know, what we think. Lomer din hanayin lanu kizehu apikorsis. It's apikorsis to do such a thing, right? It's apikorsis to do such a thing, to base whether you're going to do a mitzvah on what you think about the mitzvah. That's apikorsis. That's where we get ourselves into trouble. So al ken hachacham eino shol b'shas avodah klal. So selch sam sofer. This is the difference between the chacham and the rasha. The chacham is not asking b'shas avoda, ki oved kasher roe me'avosav. He's doing what his father's doing at the table. His father's eating matzah, he's eating matzah. His father's eating mara, I'm eating mara. Ach shelo b'zmano shava, v'choker ma'idus v'achutka mishpatim. He's asking, like, while he's doing it. In other words, he's asking, I don't know, when the meal's being served. Oh, you know, Dad, tell me more about this mitzvah of matzah. Like, why do we do it? And he did it. He ate his kazayis already. He's done. He had no clue why he did it. He didn't know that halacha. Whatever. But he's asking, you know, Dad, what's the story? Tell me some more about this matzah stuff. Masha'en ken harasha. What does the rasha do? Shal b'shas maisa. Father plops matzah right in front of him, a kazayas and matzah, whatever, two kazayas and matzah in front of him. And he says, whoa. And he puts this in quotation marks. Mahavoda hazos. Zos in quotation. What's this? Daikashatem asukim ba'achshav. Mahi lachem. I see you guys are doing this right now. You're reading it. What does this mean to you? Mishabein of Yasev, imlo yanichena. If it's straight in his eyes, it makes sense, his answer, his father's answer, he'll do it. But if it doesn't, matzah staying on the table. Alkein hu kofer be'ikr. What does it say in the Haggadah? He's kofer be'ikr. That's being kofer be'ikr. When you only accept something based on your reasoning. That's the Rasha. Ki hu motzi atzma me'asiyas klal ha-mitzvahs. Right, he's taking him out from it's not the way we do mitzvahs. Again, the best way to do a mitzvah is obviously to have all the kavanas, etc. But that should never be ma'akev. That's an important principle. So I'll just end. I saw my Rebbe Sefer that he has a whole piece developing Parshat Tzav, which is connected to Pesach. He has a whole piece that Nisan is a time of asiyah, is a time of action. Especially Pesach, there's so many things to do. That's why a lot of the posts can bring down that, you know, we know the halacha, the famous halacha, the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, right? 30 days before Pesach, you have to start learning Hilchos Pesach. So some point out that it's only dafka by Pesach. Others point out it's really by all Yom Tovim, maybe not Shavuos. Shavuos, you don't have to learn that long because not so many halachas. But Pesach, there's so many halachas. And the truth is, nowadays, you know, we all sell our chametz and we all have special Pesach kelim. So the truth is, all those halachas are, you know, it used to be like, yeah, I really had to know what was chametz and what was not. And you really also had to know how to kasher kelim. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to do that. So it's not, I guess, as many halachos. But there's still a ton of halachas. You got to know what you're doing at the Seder. You got to know a lot of other stuff. There's halachas on Erev Pesach you have to know. So it's a zman of HaKadosh Baruch, which is giving us a lot of mitzvahs. And we should we should have in mind that, in other words, again, it's always, you should learn, you should grow, and you should understand the mitzvahs and learn about the mitzvahs and have the proper kavanas. But we should always remember that it all goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do it. I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do it. And that's the ultimate level. And again, you shouldn't be like, you know, I don't have to learn at all. You know, I'm okay. God told me what to do. I'll do it. That's wrong also. You should want to understand. You should want to have the proper kavanas. So we should all be zoche this year to have the proper intentions doing these mitzvahs. And we should remind ourselves that we're doing this because the Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and he knew this was good for us. And he gave us a chumash, and he gave us 613 mitzvahs, and we're going to mekayim them like the Chacham, and not Chas V'Shalom like the Rasha.